This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
There are people listening going, yeah, Dennis, where you been?
No, I got no time.
Where you been? Gold doesn't see movies.
Yeah, but that movie came out 30 years ago.
And? What makes you think I've changed that much? I mean, I've seen some movies. I just don't see a lot of them.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Majestic. Majestic music. This is Jurassic Park, isn't it?
It is, but you'd know that if you'd seen the movie.
I probably wouldn't know it even if I had seen the movie, but I do recognize a John Williams score.
It's a classic John Williams
score. Oh, my gosh.
Score.
This could have come from any part of Star Wars.
Okay.
I'm just saying, John Williams is the GOAT when it comes to movie scores.
By far.
I mean,
him and Hans Zimmer.
What did Hans Zimmer do?
Oh, Hans Zimmer's done, like, Batman, Superman. He's done a lot.
Oh, okay. He's part of the Marvel universe.
I think he actually did Inception.
Did he?
Yeah, he's done a lot.
Okay. Well, it's good. Good for he's the second best. Then.
I mean, sure. Let's rank off film scores.
No, let's not do that.
And composers.
Let's not do that.
Because I have takes.
I'm sure you do.
It's summertime sports radio.
That's what the show is about.
Exactly.
The show is about takes. We've got a lot of takes today. There's a lot of things to get to today. And while I'm not going to include this yet in the open, we had our first Live Series event start this morning. It's like a 9:15 shotgun start. Funniest thing I saw on Twitter was our friend Jason Sobel, who we talked to last week from the Action Network and Sirius XM, saying that the drink cart would be circulating throughout the event. You could buy mulligans in the clubhouse. That's a shotgun start. I mean, it's just silly, whatever. Who cares?
A shotgun start?
Yeah, they're doing a shotgun start.
Really?
Everybody's like, look, I understand. I mean, there's something interesting about it.
Well, I guess we only have 48
competitors. Yeah, 48 players. They're playing in threesomes, so you've got, 16 groups on the course, so basically one on every hole just about, and they're going to be done in 4.5 hours. I mean, there's an argument to be made for that. The entire round in 4.5 hours. Everybody done. All right, that's fair. Whatever.
What's the YouTube channel if we can stream this?
I mean, honestly, you could just go to YouTube and watch it.
That's what I mean. Yeah, what's the YouTube channel?
It's not a channel, just YouTube.
Yeah.
If you just pull up YouTube in your browser.
Or page, I should say, yeah.
Right? You just pull up YouTube in your browser. You can search Live. I mean, I just checked it out this morning to see what it looked like. And I watched a few holes. It looks like they're playing a pretty easy golf course in the south of England. Centurion, I'd never heard of it. But looks nice, though. Looks like a course I'd like to play. Modest crowds. I wouldn't say they're small. I wouldn't say they're gigantic. But it's an event. It's a golf event. So if you want to watch, you can find it on YouTube or it's on Facebook Live, which I don't have access to, but I certainly had access to YouTube and checked it out. I think they're using some interesting graphics. I don't know about technology. I heard some people talking about, oh, you're seeing so much more golf. I'm like, well, they have no commercials. what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. I mean, of course you're seeing more golf. What else are they going to do? I mean, I probably had it up for, 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
I mean, it is an interesting concept of basically everyone starts and ends at the same time.
Look,
for viewership, that is appealing.
I said this at the beginning of this conversation. If the money weren't coming from the Saudi royal family, then this would be perfectly legit and nobody could have any real, problems with the series. It's just a series of golf tournaments. but you can't remove you can't remove the source of the money, mm-hmm. and the fact that the money is bottomless. I've said this before, and the more I read about the lead up to this, the more I'm critical of the PGA Tour for not realizing that this was going to be a problem, because this has been going on. The rumblings of this have been going on for several years, and the PGA Tour has been very slow to react, almost defiant, almost arrogant, and ultimately, and I said this the other day, if the major championships, and I'll just say if the Masters, because I think the other majors will fall in line behind the Masters, if the Masters doesn't support the PGA Tour, I think the PGA Tour is in major trouble. Mm-hmm. Major trouble. So we'll see what happens with the Masters. We know these players are all going to be playing in the U.S. Open, and my guess is they will also be playing in the Open Championship next month because they're both Opens.
Yeah.
They're both Opens. The PGA Tour did suspend the players today. The 17 PGA Tour players or former PGA Tour players all received a suspension from PGA Tour events. So, Liv responded with, "We'll sue." Like, there are going to be lawsuits flying both ways.
Yeah.
Andrew Brandt, if you follow Andrew Brandt on Twitter, writes for MMQB, former Packers executive. He likes to use the phrase, "There will be lawyers." There are already lawyers. Mm-hmm. So, we'll get more. We'll delve into that a little bit more. Actually, at the bottom of this hour. Because I said this yesterday, the most significant regular season PGA Tour event remaining on the schedule is August 4th through the 7th in Greensboro at Wyndham. That is the most significant regular season PGA Tour event left. We've got two majors, a World Golf Championship event, which to me is really separate, and then the FedEx Cup. Wyndham is the last event on the PGA Tour, on the PGA Tour's regular season schedule. That's the most significant event left. And we'll talk to Mark Brazel, who has been the tournament director there and kind of shifted into a different role, but he's still very much tied to the Wyndham Championship. We'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Before we get to that, it's time to start. Talk a little hoops. All right. I think one of these televisions behind me is spitting audio out.
Yeah, I kind of heard it.
It's all right. I don't know. Is it okay?
It's
fine. Is it okay? As long as people are not put off by it. Let us begin with game three.
Horford throws it at the rim for the baseline, cutting Robert Williams for the slam.
Boston Celtics overcame another Golden State Warriors dominant third quarter and rolled to a 116-100 win in Game 3. Jason Tatum and the Celtics have yet to lose two straight games in the postseason.
I think that's when we are at our best, right? When we respond to tough situations, when we respond to teams going on runs and things like that, we call a timeout, we regroup. and lock back in. You know, I think that's when we're at our best. And I think we did that several times a night. And I think that's as a result, you know, we end up winning the game. So just being focused and locked in and everybody competing and being on the same page, you know, we're going to need that, obviously, you know, to get the job done.
I am confused as to why the Warriors dominate third quarters the way they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it is insane. You know, it's funny.
I hope Matt Rhule takes notes.
Yeah, right. The Warriors were minus one, if you just wanted to bet the third quarter, when they went to halftime. I saw somebody, covers.com, it's a gambling Twitter feed, they tweeted out Warriors minus 1.5 in the third quarter. Like, that's the easiest bet ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they only won the third, I think, by 8. They have been absolutely ridiculous in the third period. C's now with a 2-1 series lead before tomorrow's game 4. Note, I mentioned yesterday the format. It's not a 2-3-2 format.
Yeah.
I think I get that wrong every year now because for a time it was 2-3-2, which honestly would be better for players. It would be better for players. And maybe this is better for Golden State because they know that they're getting game. Once they won game 2, they knew they were getting game 5 because mm-hmm. they could easily lose tomorrow. Don't the Celtics look like the better team?
Yeah.
Yeah. They just look like the better team. So if Boston wins again tomorrow, at least Golden State has game 5 on their floor. I'm not sure it's going to matter. We need to see more from Golden State. We'll talk about that in a second. And we can talk about Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who didn't quite get to 30, and Marcus Smart. The real difference in the game, at least the way I look at it, was the way that Boston controlled the paint and the rim on both ends. Mm-hmm. On both ends of the court. That, to me, this is where the game was decided. 7 blocked shots in the game for Boston, 15 offensive rebounds. Robert Williams had 4 blocked shots, 3 of those 15 offensive rebounds. Grant Williams had 3 offensive rebounds. I'm not sure all 3 weren't in the second half. That was, to me, the difference in the game. Golden State, just getting back to the third quarter, they cut a 12-point halftime deficit, which was at 1.17. I think it was set. Might have been a little higher, but I definitely know it was 17. They cut the halftime deficit of 12 down to 4 in the third at the end of the third quarter, but they actually had taken a lead. Golden State led, I think it was 82-81, with like 2 minutes left in the third. So think about being at one point in the second quarter down, I think I saw 51-34. That's 17.
Mm-hmm.
But it might have gone a little higher, I don't know. Because it was 68-56 at halftime.
Yeah.
So imagine in the third quarter getting it all the way to plus one if you're Golden State. But they just couldn't sustain it. They don't look as good as Boston. Celtics defense held Golden State to 11 points in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry was great. Klay Thompson was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, yeah, they don't need amazing Klay, they just need productive Klay. They got closer to amazing Klay, right? He's not going to be a great defender anymore. At least on maybe not this year. He's not quite all the way back. But Draymond Green, he was bad. He was bad in the game. Forget about offense. He was bad in the game defensively, and they cannot survive that. Here's Draymond.
I just think I never found a rhythm, really, on both ends of the floor. So not enough force, but just got to find the rhythm quicker.
I have no idea. Rhythm, whatever.
Still, only 2 points.
It's not about points. The way I look, it's not about points for Draymond. He scored, 5 points in game 2, and they won?
Something like that.
Right? He was terrible defensively. I mean, he was getting absolutely big-boyed by everybody. He could not keep Grant Williams out of the lane. He couldn't stop Jaylen Brown. Look, he is. There's been animosity created between Green and Brown, between Green and Grant Williams. But he was abused on the defensive end. If you are if you're Steve, you can't have Draymond Green be a drag on your defense. But that's what happened. There's other problems for Golden State. Steph Curry was definitely laboring after the game. I think it was Al Horford who rolled up on the back of his leg going after a loose ball in the fourth quarter. And if you're Steve Kerr, that, to me, is the biggest concern.
No. You mean when they dove on the floor for the jump ball? Yeah. I kept him in the game.
Right, and then you took him out at the two-minute mark.
I took him out with 2 minutes left because we were down by 14 points. So
no concern for Steph moving forward.
I didn't say that. The injury didn't force him out of the game, but I took him out down 14 with 2 minutes left. Because we weren't going to catch up. We'll know more tomorrow.
If I were Steve Kerr, I would be concerned.
Yeah.
I would be concerned. Steph had 31 last night. He was the reason they stayed in the game at halftime. He was the reason they came back in the third quarter. And again, took the lead. You know, they had a 7-point possession?
Yeah.
Right? Curry hits a three.
Mm-hmm.
He gets fouled. They ruled the foul flagrant because Horford came underneath Steph Curry's landing area. I would dispute that because Curry definitely jumped forward. Horford also came forward, so that's probably why they called it.
Mm-hmm.
So Curry goes to the free throw line to make the one, even though based on – because normally it would be two free throws, but because he made a three, you get two shots to make one. Curry didn't need the two shots. And then in the ensuing possession, because you get the ball, Otto Porter hit a three.
Yeah.
That's a 7-point possession. Pretty impressive. The Curry has averaged 31.3 points per game in the series. Steph Curry is the only reason why Golden State's not going to get swept. That's it. He's gonna be their leading scorer every game. And they're getting enough offense. Like 100 points is not enough. They only scored 11 points in the fourth quarter. But in a normal fourth quarter, if they put up 20, close to 110 points is enough. It's enough to win an NBA playoff game. But you have to play better defense. They got abused at the rim. They got abused. Draymond Green was just terrible. They're going to need to play Kevon Looney more. They're going to have to, even though Steve Kerr doesn't want to, unless they're going to get better from Draymond. Anyway, game four is on Friday.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Let's do that hockey.
There you go. Game 5 Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Madison Square Garden. We don't know about the Rangers. They have two injuries. Ryan Strome left. Ryan Strome didn't play in Game 4. Philip Hedel, who has been one of New York's best players in the playoffs, Philip Hedel left the game midway, like late second period, did not return. Rangers have won 8 straight on home ice in the playoffs. They have won 8 straight on home ice. Impressive, right?
Yeah. And Carolina won 7.
Yes, Carolina won 7. Rangers, their last home ice loss was game 1. To the Penguins.
Oh, okay.
They won the next 3. They won all 3 against the Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they won 2 against the Lightning, the first 2 games of this series. Is that going to continue? I don't know. It certainly has been a home ice in the East, a home ice playoffs, although Tampa does have a sweep. To their credit, and they won plenty of road games in the Toronto series. So Tampa might be the only team immune to it, but we'll find out. We'll see. Tampa certainly looks like the better team. Maybe they get Braden Point back If Braden Point comes back, then that's definitely a difference maker for the Lightning. Mm-hmm. All right, the Rams have a lot of money.
Yeah,
the Rams have a lot of money. Stan Kroenke's worth a lot of cash, and my gosh, the Rams just gave Cooper Kupp a 3-year contract extension that is guaranteeing him $75 million. Didn't they just give Aaron Donald $95
million? Mm-hmm.
Like yesterday?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that check just cashed.
Here's the thing. Matthew Stafford has the fourth highest cap hit on the team. No, you know what Matthew Stafford's cap hit is this year?
It's like $30 million.
No,
it's actually pretty low.
13.5.
That's right. Because the way they did his contract set up. That's right. I forgot about
Matthew,
that.
Other than quarterbacks playing on their first contract, mm-hmm. how many teams, good teams, have a quarterback fourth on their cap hit list? What are the Bills with Josh Allen? What are the Chiefs? What are the Packers? Hell, even the Bucks. Brady is probably at the top of the Bucks cap hit list, right? Matthew Stafford is fourth. That is flipping amazing, absolutely amazing.
You mentioned Andrew Brandt earlier.
Yeah.
Andrew Brandt actually wrote an article for Sports Illustrated last year, which you can still find, about he uses this term called cash over cap, which is how a lot of NFL owners look at like how they structure contracts and pay players. So, yeah, they're putting out a lot more cash right now, but it's above the cap hit. So it's just kind of, it's weird how they manage the cap in that regard.
Look, I've said this before. There's only one sport of the four major professional sports mm-hmm. In the United States. There's only one that has a legitimate salary cap, and that's the NHL.
Yeah.
And there are even ways around that with long-term injured reserve and things like that, buyouts. There is a way around salary caps, but in the NHL, it's much more restrictive. The NBA, they have a luxury tax. Teams exceed the cap all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Not to mention, even without paying into the luxury tax, you can exceed the cap. But in the NFL, it's accounting. It's all accounting. So the Rams just doled out in cash. They guaranteed. Now, they didn't guarantee Aaron Donald doesn't get, I think it's $65 million guaranteed. He doesn't get all that this year, but he gets like
a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to make about $31 million this year. Look, because you can stretch these things out and you can add dummy years that you'll never get to, and a lot of the monies are not guaranteed, it's just very simple mm-hmm. to do this. So the Rams are doing it. They don't have draft picks. They don't have to really worry about that, right? I think their first pick was in the third round this year.
Maybe.
Something like that. Okay. Les Snead probably is the executive of the year already. Mm-hmm. Just with the contract extensions that they have signed.
By the way, you mentioned Tom Brady, third highest cap hit for the Bucks.
Bucks. Who's first?
Donovan Smith, left tackle.
Oh, okay.
Then Levante David. Brady's cap hit's only $11.9
million. Ah, there you go. That's that's why. Because he got most of that money last year. So, and there's dummy years. I believe I'm pretty sure there are dummy years left on his deal.
If he has a dead cap hit, though, if let's say they were to cut him,
right?
Obviously, they're not. Would be $47 million.
Yeah. Okay. So there's he got money up front, and there mm-hmm. are dummy years at the back end. So absolutely amazing. All right. One more football thing, and we're not gonna belabor this because we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but the Houston Texans are now back in the Deshaun Watson game. And here's why I say this. The 22 civil lawsuits that are all combined in one, mm-hmm. Until yesterday, did not name the Texans as a defendant. But as part of the investigation by the New York Times, it was uncovered that the non-disclosure agreement that Watson has demanded all of these women to sign in exchange for monies that, you know, he was trying to negotiate actually came from the Texans. So they knew about it. So now they are also part of the lawsuit. We're going to talk more about this later. Like, the Browns are going to have to deal with a major problem with the NFL. And it's not even a difference between 22 or 24, which is the number now, although two of the lawsuits are separate from the original 22. And it's not even about the 66 in total. It's about the fact that the Browns didn't do what they were supposed to do. The Browns didn't investigate this. But of course, the Browns are in the NFL, and they also never investigate this. Mm-hmm. Remember the conversation we had with regards to, I forget who had brought, I think Will Bred brought it up with Ray Rice?
Yeah.
Do you know why the NFL didn't have the elevator video in the Ray Rice case?
They didn't ask.
They didn't. That's the right answer.
Yeah.
That is the right answer because it was available.
Yeah.
They did not inquire. Like, anybody could have gotten it who was investigating the case. So a private investigator got it. NFL. And so this was the first time that we had realized that the NFL really didn't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're pretending to give a damn now. We'll see how much they do. But, yeah, the Cleveland Browns did no due diligence. They, hey, Deshaun, did this happen? Nah. Okay, good. Here's $230 million. So, there are really good reporters out there. I guess the Cleveland Browns didn't account for that.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.